Welcome back to our segment two here at Naomi's Table, where we do our daily Bible study. We are in the Gospel of Mark. Today is lesson 42, and our teacher, Connie Stample, is here with us at the table. Connie, welcome back. And what are we going to be learning about today?
Well, we are in Mark chapter 13. We're going to be doing verses 1 through 13, and we're going to find out that the disciples ask Jesus a question, and then he talks to them about things that are going to be happening very soon, and then in the far, far future. And so as Jesus is preparing to go to the cross, he is preparing his disciples for, I think, for his departure, in a sense, and how they're going to live and what they need to think about in between those times, between when he dies and is buried and resurrected, and then when he comes back. So I will read our Bible study section today for us, and then we'll go back through and talk through the verses and pull some more things into it. This is Mark chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. And he came out of the temple, and as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will all these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of birth pangs. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, be not anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." Going back to the beginning part of this chapter, when Jesus is leaving the temple, and this, if you remember when we last were together, we had just seen Jesus watch that poor widow put everything she had in the offering box and how she was totally devoted to God. Then as he's leaving the temple, one of his disciples pointed out and said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And truly, the Herodian temple of Jesus' day was a magnificent sight. It was thought to be actually one of the true wonders of the ancient world. And actually, when Jesus was walking around the temple grounds, it wasn't even completely finished. The temple itself was done, but the rulers were still adding on to the whole temple expanse, that enlarged area. And that wasn't actually finished until AD 64, which was another 30 or so years after Jesus' death. And the other thing is, when the disciple pointed out those wonderful stones, the Temple Mount was built on incredibly massive, large stones, which took much ingenuity and engineering to put in place. But they actually were about 45 feet long, 11 and a half feet high, and 12 feet deep. And so just massive stones that weighed incredible amount. So they're looking at these wonderful things and just being in awe of them. And then Jesus is saying to them, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And Jesus is predicting the future, and it's actually the very near future, because what's going to happen in 70 AD is the Romans will completely capture and destroy Jerusalem, and they will destroy the temple. And so the temple was destroyed at that point, and it has not yet been rebuilt. And Jesus' words were very true. One thing to think about is when Jesus talks about the temple being destroyed, we know from Scripture and from what Jesus has told us that the temple sacrificial system would not be able to completely atone for or take care of our sin. It was just a temporizing measure where the blood of the bulls and the lambs, it covered the sin for a short time, but truly always God was looking for the perfect sacrifice of his son. And after Jesus died, the temple was no longer necessary because the perfect sacrifice had already happened. We also remember that Jesus, in the past couple of days, when we've been together, we've talked about how in chapter 12, Jesus actually came into the temple and cleaned it out because they were using it in the wrong way. It wasn't God's house of prayer for all nations. It was actually a den of robbers, and they were using it for material purposes and their own greed and to make money. And so they had misused the temple, and the temple is going to be destroyed. And so Jesus then answers some more questions of his disciples, and we find out more about what's going to happen after he leaves the earth. Because then in verse 3 it says, "And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple," and so we know the Mount of Olives is on the east side of Jerusalem. It's at about the height of the temple, and so he and his disciples are sitting on the slopes of the Mount of Olives, and they're looking across at this magnificent temple. And then we find in verse 3 it says, "Peter and James and John and Andrew." Remember, Peter, James, and John are those three that are often closest to him in somewhere, and then Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, is with them. "Asked him privately, and they said, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?'" And so they're asking for when it's going to happen, and then they, you know, what's going to be going on around it? What's going to tip us off to these things happening? And then in verse 5, Jesus says to them, "See that no one leads you astray." And we're going to find in this passage, especially of Mark chapter 13, Jesus says, "Beware. Watch out, take heed," three times. And he also says, "Stay awake," at least twice. And so Jesus is giving a lot of strong exhortation to his disciples to be aware, to know what's going on, to not be deceived. And so we're going to see, as we work through chapter 13, all those things that he's warning them about. But he says, "See to it that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray." And so Jesus is already telling them that there's going to be false Christs who come, people who will say and do wonderful things, perhaps even do some miraculous things, but his followers need to be aware not to follow these people. And then verse 7, it says, "And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars," and literally it's the sound of war, you can hear a battle, or you hear the report of war, it's a war far away, "do not be alarmed." He says, "This must take place, but the end is not yet." And so Jesus is saying the coming times after I leave the earth, while you're still here, there's going to be war and rumors and war. War close by, war is far away, but the end isn't here yet. That's all going to be going on. And then he says in verse 8, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and there will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pangs." And so when Jesus talks about wars and about earthquakes and about famines and nation rising against nation, and we consider the past 2,000 years of history, we can validate and say, yes, that has been the history of mankind. And perhaps as we consider our present day, I think we could probably notice that at least with our information age and hearing and knowing so much about what's going on in the world, it almost seems like there's more going on as far as natural disasters and even wars than there ever has been in the world. I just heard a statistic that by the year 2000, half the people who have ever been alive in the whole history of the world are now alive. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that is incredible. So there are a lot of people and a lot of things going on. But anyway, Jesus says these are but the beginning of the birth pangs. And so he's talking about where history is leading up to that final day of judgment. And the beginning of the birth pangs is just starting, but it hasn't fully happened. And then as he goes on, he's going to be talking about what will happen to his disciples in this world, a world that actually hates Jesus, a world that abused and killed Jesus. And so he's going to tell them to be aware and what's going on, but he also gives them hope. And so we'll study through this today. Verse 9, he says, "But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils," or literally Sanhedrins, "and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them." And so we find out that as followers of Christ, we will confront perhaps religious leaders, and we will have governmental authorities that may have us testify before them. They may take issue with what we say and do as believers. And then Jesus says the purpose is so that you bear witness before them. And just as Jesus came and spoke truth, that's what we are to do also. And then he says in verse 10, he says, and the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And we find out from the Great Commission, that's our purpose, is to proclaim who he is and speak the gospel. And Jesus says in verse 11, and when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And what a promise that when we are called to testify to the truth of what we know in Jesus Christ, how he's changed us, what God is doing in the world, what is truly ultimately of value and eternal significance, the Holy Spirit will give us those words. And that is an incredible, incredible promise. And then Jesus also warns, there's going to be more conflict. And we're not only going to have to testify and have conflict with religious folks and the governmental leaders, but also we even within our own families. Verse 12, he says, and brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And so he's just warning that there will be family conflict over me, and be aware. And then in verse 13, he gives the promise, and he says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And so that's his promise. Yes, there will be trial. Yes, there will be tribulation. Yes, people will hate you. Yes, you may be abused, rejected, persecuted. You may die, but that's okay, because you will be saved. And as we consider and as we go through the rest of the Mark, we're going to hear again, you know, what happened to Jesus, how he suffered and died. And we're already given the clue that as his followers, we can expect to suffer also. He promised that to us, but he also promised us his presence and that he will be with us. On the study guide for today, there's many verses to look up that will give us hope. It will again be Jesus warning his disciples, preparing them for when he's going to be gone. But he's already overcome the world. And so we don't worry about what's going to happen to us. We endure to the end. We know he's coming back to save us. And we pray, actually, that we will be faithful followers of him, faithful witnesses of him, people who witness to him, and that he will use us for his purpose and glory until he comes back.
Well, Connie, you've given us so much to think about and chew over, and I hope we can all do that together. That study guide that Connie mentioned, by the way, is found at naomistable.com under the Bible Study tab. We hope you can go deeper with that. Nancy and I will be back to talk more about this when we come back.